As was announced, the scripture reading this evening will be taken from the book of Revelation, chapter 22, verses 18 and 19. That's Revelation chapter 22, verses 18 and 19. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. "For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book."
Does the Bible say, "Thou shalt not"? Most of us don't know what that number is. I don't know what that number is. The Bible does say, "Thou shalt not," and says that we should not be doing certain things. And unfortunately, the world tends to focus on those things. It focuses on the scriptures that say, "Thou shalt not." And many people believe that that's all you have to do, is obey those certain scriptures. And they tend to ignore everything else. They ignore the rest of the Bible. They ignore the examples that the apostles have given us. They ignore a lot of the verses that don't explicitly say, "Don't do something." And hopefully, we as Christians recognize that that is a problem, and that we need to focus on the entire Bible, all of the scriptures. Many people just think that as long as they don't steal, as long as they don't commit murder or adultery or cheat or lie or something like that, then they have really no need to be religious, so to speak, or even submit to God or Christ. They feel that they're moral in their own way. They run on their own set of morals. And sadly, there are those who claim to be Christians that also follow that line of thinking. They think that as long as I don't do the bad sins, then I'm okay. They refrain from doing those things that God prohibits, but they also fall short of doing what God wants them to do. Tonight, we're going to look at five ways to disobey God. I just want to take a moment to welcome everyone here and appreciate your presence. Even though it was announced ahead of time that I'd be speaking, you're still here, so I appreciate that. I do apologize for my voice ahead of time. It's probably going to go at some point. So if I just start clicking through the PowerPoint, just follow along and you'll get the idea. But I do appreciate this opportunity as always. So please follow along in the scriptures and verify that what I have to say is from the Word of God. And hopefully we'll all benefit from this study tonight. So first of all, the five ways that people disobey God. First of all, doing what is forbidden, "thou shalt not," or some phrase along those lines. People refuse to follow a certain commandment. People will add to the scriptures. People will take away from the scriptures. And they'll substitute something for a command. First of all, doing what is forbidden. Doing something that has been explicitly said, "Don't do this." Turn to Genesis chapter 2. We see the example of Adam and Eve. Genesis chapter 2, verse 16, says, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, 'You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die.'" So this is an explicit command that says, do not do this. Well, what happened? Chapter 3, verse 6. It says, "So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate." They disobeyed God. It was explicitly told them, don't do this. But they did it anyway. That happens today. People will ignore what God says, will ignore what the Bible says, and do what they want to do. Why do we do that? Well, normally when we sin, it's because we want to do something. We want to do what we want to do because it's fun, it's pleasurable, it's appealing to us. That's why we disobey God. But also, keep in mind that Adam and Eve died on that day that they sinned. They didn't die physically, they died spiritually. And that can happen to us as well. We can die spiritually if we disobey God. The next point is refusing to follow a command. Turn over to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, down in verse 29, says, "When all the people had heard this, and the tax collectors too, they declared God just, having been baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected the purpose of God for themselves, not having been baptized by him." The Pharisees did this. Many people in the New Testament, we see examples of people refusing to do something. They were told, you need to be baptized by John. They refused to do it. People do that today. Jonah was told, go to Nineveh. Jonah, it's almost comical the extent that he went to avoid doing what God told him to do. He refused to do it so much that he got on a ship and tried to sail away from God. I'm not sure where he was going to go to get away from God. But he tried to get away because he refused to do what God told him to do. And he did that several times in that whole situation. Turn over to James chapter 4. Do we know how to do good? Do we know how to do what God has commanded us to do? James 4, verse 7 says, "Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." We have to do what God has told us to do. It's that simple. We have to resist the devil. We have to resist him and he will flee from us. We have to figure out how to avoid those sins. Turn over to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, verse 14 says, "Who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works." Are we zealous to do good things? Is it something we want to do? Is it something we seek out to do good things? Or do we just kind of try and get through the day? Try and get through the day without something bad happening or something catastrophic happening to us. We should be zealous for good works, actively seeking out a way to do something good. And by just going through the motions and not doing this, we're refusing the commandments that we have. We're told to do certain things. We're told to do good things. And if we're not zealous to do good things, then we're refusing that commandment. Next thing is adding to the word. Adding to the word of God. Turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 4. We can see an example in the Old Testament. That says in Deuteronomy 4, verse 2 says, "You shall not add to the word that I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you." And then over in Revelation chapter 22, the scripture reading that was read for us, down in verse 18, it says, "I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book." So that sounds pretty important. That's something we need to recognize that we can't do. And I'm kind of a visual person. I think about things visually. So when I think of somebody adding to the Bible, sometimes my brain thinks that there's, some scribe somewhere in a monastery somewhere writing something down and adding an extra sentence to the scrolls that were written. Or something along those lines of someone important is just adding a little bit extra. But that's not always the case. We can add things all the time. We can add things and do things a different way and violate God's law. Adding to the Word of God is not something we need to do. There's a lot of people here tonight that can play a musical instrument. There's a lot of people that are really good at playing the guitar. And if we decided that, maybe we should have somebody up here playing a guitar to go along with our singing. Sounds like a good idea. It would add to the music. It would sound good. No harm is intended there. Nobody's trying to violate any commandments that God has given us. But you're adding to what has been told to us about the worship. We have explicit directions on how to worship God. And if you add something to that, you're disobeying God. The next thing you can do to disobey God is to take away things from the Word. The same scriptures apply. In Revelation 22, verse 19, it says, If anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. We know that baptism now saves us, as 1 Peter 3:21 says. But so many people will try and take baptism out of the equation of salvation. They say, well, yeah, it's in the scriptures, but you really don't have to be baptized to be saved. It's not a requirement. We can see here it says, baptism now saves you. Acts 2:38 says, repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. It doesn't say, well, you repent now, and then you can be baptized whenever you feel like. Whenever it's convenient, you can go ahead and do that. It says, essentially, at the same time, repent and be baptized so you can have forgiveness of sins. It's pretty simple, but so many people will try and change what the Word says. And finally, substituting for a command that we have. Moses did this. Moses was commanded to speak to the rock so that water would come out of it. Moses somehow decided, you know what? That's not really good enough. Maybe he thought that the Israelites wouldn't recognize the power that he was going to be performing. He wanted to do something grander, that he would be able to convince the people that this was something from God. Speaking was not as important as he felt it was, so he struck the rock. We can read of that in Numbers chapter 20. Moses substituted for what God told him to do. God gave him explicit instructions to do something, and he just substituted something for that. Colossians 3:18. If you would turn over to Colossians. Colossians 3:18 says, "Wives, submit to your husbands." I could go a lot of different directions with this, but I will not. But the point is that he's told us that wives are supposed to submit to their husbands. It doesn't say, "Wives, submit to your husbands whenever it's convenient. Wives, submit to your husbands whenever they're in a good mood." It says, "Wives, submit to your husbands." And it doesn't say, "Wives, do a little bit of what your husband wants you to do." It says, "Submit." Verse 19, "Husbands, love your wives." Why? Because if you don't, they're not going to submit to you. Husbands are to love their wives. Not whenever they feel like, not whenever they're in a good mood. If the husband's in a good mood, all right, then I'll show her some love. Husbands are to love their wives. It's the same thing. It's not when it's convenient. Children, verse 20, "Obey your parents in everything." Kids are going to be kids. Can't get around that. But so many kids today want to do what they want to do. And I guess it's always been like that. But children want to do what they want to do. They don't want to do everything their parents tell them. But they are supposed to. Obey your parents in everything. Not some things. Not things that are convenient. Not whenever you're done playing video games. Obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. So how do we obey God? We looked at some of these things, but we looked at doing what is forbidden, things that you're told not to do, refusing to do what God has commanded you, just basically saying, "No, I'm not going to do that." And then we looked at adding to the word, taking away from the word, and also substituting for a commandment that we've been given. Disobeying God should be avoided. How do we obey God? How do we do that? We need to avoid sin. That should be our ultimate goal, is to avoid sin. Turn over to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, verse 4 says, "Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness." So if you're doing something sinful, it's against God, it's against His law, it's against His commandments. Verse 5, "You know that He appeared in order to take away sins, and in Him there is no sin. No one who abides in Him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen Him or known Him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous, as he is righteous. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning, because he has been born of God. By this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. If you do not practice righteousness, you are not of God. That's pretty significant. If we're not of God, what are we? We're of the devil. We need to be practicing righteousness. Turn to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2, the very end of that verse says, "Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." Sounds pretty easy, right? Be faithful unto death. That's all we have to do. In reality, that is it. All we have to do is obey God. Obey what he's told us to do. Obey his commandments. Don't do what is forbidden. Don't refuse to do what God has told us to do. Don't add to the word. Don't take away. Don't substitute something for what we're commanded. And if you remain faithful unto death, you will have the crown of life. That is our reward. We can have eternal life if we obey God. Maybe after looking at a few of these things, you've recognized that you haven't been obeying God the way you need to. Maybe one of these categories, you fit into one of those categories. Maybe you fit into a couple of them. Hopefully you don't fit into all of them. But if that's the case, you need to repent. And if you've done something of a public nature, you need to repent publicly. If it's of a private nature, you can repent privately and ask God for forgiveness. So you can do that tonight. However, if you have not been baptized, if you have not become a Christian, you don't even have the chance of having that crown of life. You don't have the chance of going to heaven after you die. There's no way around it. We have so many scriptures that tell us you must be baptized. Repent and be baptized because you need your sins washed away. So you have an opportunity to do that tonight. So if you need to repent of your sins or you need to be baptized, we ask you to come forward now as we stand and sing to encourage you.